Right. Hey, good evening, folks. Good to see you back with us tonight. Another Wednesday night together as we continue on in our series tonight on holiness and pursuing holiness specifically. Before we launch into that, let me go ahead and just share with you some praises that we've had. Nick DePue's grandma that we've been praying for, I'm sorry, his grandfather, his surgery is done and he's now working on 8 weeks of no weight bearing recovery. And then after that, he'll get transferred over to a rehab facility. So just continue to be in prayer for him and that recovery time. And then also another praise, Rhoda's mom. We were praying for her as well. Her surgery, it ended up lasting 5 hours, but the doctors feel it was successful. So she wanted to share that praise with us. Please be in prayer for a number in our church that we have sent out through emails that have medical needs coming up. Jerry Chance has some repair work to be done on July 16th, and then his wife, Anna, is having a medical procedure on the 24th. So please keep them in your prayers, and maybe after that point, I'm not sure what kind of recovery they'll have after that, but they may need some help. So you might want to give them a call and see if you can do something to help them since they'll both be recovering. Also, pray for one of our missionaries, the Shores. A number of our missionaries have been stranded, so to speak. Many of them were supposed to be coming home this summer to go on furlough and go around and visit their churches, and they haven't been able to leave their countries to get back here. Well, the Shores are finally able to leave Scotland. They're actually leaving tomorrow, and they're asking for prayer for them and their family as they make their way through all of the airports flying back to Chicago with all of their luggage and their kids and instruments and everything else that they're bringing with them. It can be quite a stressful ordeal, so please be in prayer for them. I'll ask you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 is where we'll be at, and we'll actually start reading there in verse 15. Let's have a word of prayer before we begin. Father in heaven, God, help us tonight. Help us as we look into your word and try to gain a deeper understanding of holiness, specifically your holiness, and how that compares to our perceived holiness that we have. God, I would ask that as we have this deeper understanding, that it would have an impact on what we do and how we do things. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 15, if you would follow along as I read, it says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." God has called, it is his plan, that all Christians be holy. Not just the pastors and the missionaries and a few selected Sunday school teachers, but all Christians. We are all called to be holy. Why? Well, our verse tells us, because he is holy. God himself is holy. One thing I've noticed in Christianity is this. Christians are holy, but their holiness is based on the culture around them many times. More specifically, it's based on the holiness of Christians around them. And so there we are, comparing ourselves, measuring ourselves by what other people are doing. If we are just a little bit better, then we're okay. At least that seems to be our subconscious thinking, perhaps. Well, here's the problem with that. God hasn't called us to be like those around us, or even to be a little bit better than those around us. His plan is that we be like him, conformed to the character of God. Holiness, in fact, is one of the attributes of God. That means this: God isn't holy because he does holy things. He is holiness. Here's our first point for our outlines. He has perfect knowledge, so he never has to ask if something is right or not. We sometimes wonder, don't we, about what is right, what is wrong in a particular situation, what should we do, what shouldn't we do, what does the Bible say we should do? And then sometimes, even though we know what is right, we still struggle with doing the right thing. We struggle because the right thing sometimes may require a sacrifice on our part. It may require a loss of pride, our own pride. Sometimes it may have other obstacles to doing the right thing. So we struggle with it. It is impossible for God to do this. His nature is holiness. There's never a struggle on his part. Here's the second point. God's holiness is perfect freedom from all sin. Now, we say a garment is clean when it's free from any spots. So the holiness of God is the absence of any evil. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, it says this: "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Folks, you cannot have a lighted room and there be darkness at the same time. God's holiness is also perfect conformity to his own divine character. Now, we can't say this about ourselves, can we? God's thoughts and his actions are always consistent with his character. Compare that to us. Over time, we might develop a certain level of Christianness. To obey God. Unfortunately, when that happens, many times we just excuse it, or we try to minimize it, explain it, sugarcoat it, and then we just move on. So we have let something slip, we have faltered, we have disobeyed, we've refused to forgive, we let our thoughts go, we have a wrong thought, whatever the case is, and we excuse it, minimize it, we were tired, the circumstances were this, this, and that, and that's what did it. We're saying, it pushed my buttons. We had these excuses, and then after we go through all of them, we maybe feel a little bit better, and then we just move on. Now, once in a while, we may even reflect on how these things are not consistent with the new creature character that we've been given. And the result then is we're repentant of those things. Can we say that we are repentant every time? Every time we get into a tussle with someone else, a verbal tussle, a mind game tussle, and we have bad feelings towards this one, and maybe that person has bad feelings towards us, and we roll through all of the excuses and the minimizing of it, and then we just move on. Can we say that we are always repentive of our part in those things that come on us? This never happens with God, ever. He is always consistent. It is this standard of holiness that God has called us to. This should be a source of assurance for us, folks. Think about this. If God is perfectly holy, then we can be confident, assured, that his actions toward us are always perfect and just. When the bad things happen and we're tempted to blame God, no, God is holy. Consistently, always holy. It's part of his character. He can't be anything but holy, fair, and just with us. And this is why this concept of God's holiness is important. Sometimes we are tempted to think that God is being unfair. That is Satan's lie to us. Now think about it. This is the same lie that he told Eve in the Garden of Eden. God is being unfair to you. Folks, that's impossible. It is impossible for God to be unfair. That would violate his character of holiness. His holiness describes all of his other attributes. The word holy, holiness, is used as an adjective before other attributes of God all throughout the Bible. His power is a holy power. His mercy is a holy mercy. His wisdom is a holy wisdom. Recognizing his holiness, trusting his holiness. When we do that, we're actually praising God. Instead of retreating to our own understanding of things around us, the events taking place around us, the people taking place around us, we're just trusting the fact that God is holy. And because of his holiness, he would never allow anything unjust, unfair, or unloving to happen to us. When we trust his holiness, we're actually praising God. His holiness, as I said, describes all of these other attributes of his. But God demands more than just us recognizing his holiness. He demands our holiness. He says, "Be ye holy." He cannot ignore any form of unholiness in us. Now, let me say that again. God cannot ignore any unholiness in us. So first, do we ignore unholiness in us? Yes, we do, don't we? There's many times we gloss over things and we just move on. God cannot overlook sin. Habakkuk 1 and verse 13, it says, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity." Because God is holy, he can't excuse, he can't overlook any sin we commit. I know there are those sins that we all commit. Yours are different than mine and someone else's, but we have those, we've called them pet sins, Christian sins, those things that we just overlook. God doesn't. Because of his holiness, he cannot overlook evil. God doesn't accept the excuses that we offer up. He doesn't accept, "Well, that's just the way I am." Or how about this one? "Well, I'm still growing in that area of my life." No, that's not what we call it. We don't call it, "That's just the way I am." We don't call it, "Well, I'm still growing in that area." God calls it sin. No matter how much we might gloss over it, his holiness cannot excuse sin. Here's another verse, James chapter 1 and verse 13. It says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. God doesn't tempt us. God cannot tempt us. It would go contrary to his character of holiness because he cannot excuse sin. He cannot look on evil. Therefore, he would not tempt us with evil. We can sometimes feel that maybe God placed us in a situation where we have no choice. We had no choice. When we feel this way, we're saying that God is tempting us to sin. But God hates sin. Many times people would say, well, let me back up. It's almost like we're saying this, folks, as parents that have children. It's almost like we're saying, okay, I'm going to put my child in a position where he's going to be tempted to use drugs just to help him grow. Parents don't do that. Not loving parents. Many times people will say, God hates sin but loves a sinner, right? Have you ever heard that? That is so true. God does hate sin. He does love the sinner. But here's what we often do with that saying. We often rush right over the first part and then park it on the second part. God just loves a sinner. God loves a sinner. Yes, he does. He hates sin. We cannot escape the fact that God hates your sin and my sin. God hates the sin, and so should we. Maybe we should just focus on that first part and change the second part. God hates the sin, and I should hate my sin also. He hates our lustful thoughts. He hates our anger. He hates our bitterness. He hates our unforgiveness. He hates our pride. He hates our jealousy. He hates our arguments, our dissension. He hates our discord. He hates our materialism. He hates our coveting. He hates our laziness on a Sunday morning when we don't want to get up and go to church. He hates our selfishness when we keep all of what he's given us and don't give him anything back. Even though we often fall into this peaceful coexistence with these things in our life that we tolerate, we may be okay with them. God hates them because of his holiness. So why are we spending time considering the holiness of God? Thinking of or about the holiness of God and his hatred of sin is a strong deterrent to us committing sin. His command, be ye holy, for I am holy. He has that comparison there for us. We have to take that seriously if we are going to grow in holiness. Now, those of you that are listening tonight, and some of you men that will wear dress shirts, many times you'll wear a white t-shirt underneath of it, okay? As I have on one right now. And you can tell the difference between a clean t-shirt and a dirty one, right? Absolutely. You can see the dirt on the dirty one. So what do you do when it's dirty? You throw it in the laundry hamper and it magically reappears a few days later cleaned, right? If your wife loves you, that's what she does for you. But that shirt gets washed, the dirt is removed, and you see those clean white t-shirts in your dresser drawer. Now let me ask you this: are all of the clean white t-shirts in your dresser drawer, are they clean? Well, you would probably say yes. Are they white? Well, you would look at them and say, yep, this is white, it is clean. I will challenge you to do this, although you won't need to because you'll be able to visualize this. Go to the store and buy a package of new t-shirts and compare those new t-shirts with your clean white t-shirt that's in your drawer. Is it the same whiteness? Probably not. Why am I saying this? Well, I want us to understand that we think our clean white t-shirt is clean, but when compared to the holiness of God, it's not. And so we need to ask this question, are we holy? How do we determine that? Because we look at ourselves, we see it, well, hold on. Maybe if we're honest, we realize and we understand that there are areas that we're not holy, and maybe we have kind of glossed over them and minimized them so that we're not as dirty as God sees us to be. But God sees all sin as sin. Praying what the psalmist did in Psalms, search me. See if there's any wickedness in me. See if there's any uncleanness in me whatsoever. Praying that, expecting God to reveal things to us in our lives. And then what do? Well, we got to try harder. We got to work harder. No, we need to confess and forsake. We love Jesus more because of his holiness. And God begins to change and alter our yielded heart as we yield it to him. Until we call it sin, we're not motivated to get it out of our life. Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you would help us with this. Help us to continue to see, open our eyes, reveal to us the great difference between our perceived holiness and your holiness. God, I pray that would be a motivator for us to be holy because you are holy. God, I pray that it would be an assurance to us that your holiness would never allow anything unfair or unjust or unloving to happen to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, folks. Have a great week, and I look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning.